Well, good morning, church family. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Easy. Thank you, though. Yeah, it's an honor. Well, this is our Dads and Grads Sunday. And usually when we get to the message, we don't preach about dads, although actually technically that's not true because we talk about our Heavenly Father all the time. And actually in the bulletin, it says good, good father because I was asked for a sermon title earlier and I'm like, I don't know yet. I'm doing a funeral this weekend. I got a bunch of stuff going on, so I'm not sure. So I put that in there as a placeholder, and that's not the name of the sermon this morning. So I'll talk to you about that. That's the name of the sermon, what's on the screen behind me. But normally we do, even though we don't talk about dads here, we can sort of skew the message a little bit towards either our adolescents, young adults that are kind of moving on into the next stage of life or to the dads, but we try to make it fit for everyone. And I believe that whether you are a dad or a mom or a son or a daughter or a single adult or an older adult, I think there's something in this message for everyone, even though there's really some very clear directives for dads. And speaking of dads, I am going to invite a dad and a grad to come up and join me. So normally for our Dads and Grads service, we have a video at the end of the service for all of our grads. This year, it's Dads and Grad, and because we only have one grad. And I thought, you know what, if I make a video of one high school guy and play it for everybody, he will never come back again. And so I just want to share with you, you can put this picture up here. I want to ask Andrew and Chuck if they would come up and join me. Yeah, you can clap for him. Thanks, guys. Come right up here with me. So, Chuck, Andrew, Andy, I'm going to give you the mic. Actually, no, I'm not going to give you the microphone yet. You come right up here. You're more important than me. So this is Andrew, and Andrew is going to be attending OCC next year. Is that right? And majoring in criminal justice. Is that what you're looking at? Or criminal something? He's going to learn to be a criminal. And not really. But he's also going to be playing soccer, from what I've been told. And congratulations. And it's our tradition here to ask the dad to pray over their sons and daughters as they're graduating. And so I've asked Chuck if he would pray for Andrew. And I just would ask you to pray in agreement with him as well. So,
boy, Lord, I've already had a conversation with you this morning just thinking about this day. Thinking about this young man, thinking about the responsibility of having been assigned the role of father, my favorite title. And from the moment Drew was born, we've had conversations about what he needs from me and what I hope for him. And at the end of the day, it really comes down to what he needs from you and what you hope for him. And because I am always going to fall short of what he needs in its purest sense, and you're going to have a far greater dream and passion for his life than I could muster with my finite mind. And I just want to, again this morning, ask that you would continue to draw Andrew's heart every single day of his life, that he would be receptive to your voice and to your will, that he would be drawn to you, that it wouldn't be a labor for him, that it would be easy for him to pursue you, and that he would glorify you and honor you in all that he does, whether it's in his friendships and relationships at home, school, and in the community, in his employment. Lord, I pray that he would always make wise decisions that honor you and that you would just extend unmeasurable grace to him in the moments that don't shine. And I extend these prayers to the people that are standing with us today or sitting with us and thinking these same thoughts. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you are going to do. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Andrew, we have a gift for you from church family. So, yeah, God bless you. Well, if you have a Bible and you want to follow along with me this morning, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. And bear with me this morning as I, man, that was a great prayer, Chuck. I'm going to try to use this handheld microphone this morning. I haven't done that in years. I got to figure out something to do with the other one because it just gets stuck in the beard hair, whatever. So work with me on this. We're going to talk about discipleship this morning. And everyone who's a Christian, again, whether you're a dad, a mom, brother, sister, son, daughter, grandparent, single adult, everyone who is a Christian is either being formed as a disciple of Jesus or assisting others in the process of them becoming a disciple of Jesus. And in reality, hopefully it's both for us. Today we're looking at a short but powerful passage from Ephesians chapter 6. Did I say 4? Ephesians 6. I apologize if I gave you the wrong reference there. That speaks directly to the heart of family life. Not the radio station, but the reality that exists in our homes. And specifically the role of parents, in particular fathers. But there is something in this for all of us as we seek to be disciples who are and are becoming disciples and who are desiring to make disciples. And so I just want to pray for this time, if you would join me in prayer. Father, I just wholeheartedly agree with the prayer that was prayed here just a moment ago, both prayers, what Carolyn prayed as well. And in this place this morning, God, as we celebrate dads today, and rightfully so, God, help us to be mindful that that you revealed yourself to us as Father. And God, I'm so thankful for my mom and my dad and all those people, adults in my life who were parent figures in my life who helped me in the discipleship process. And even those who are still helping me, I think of Pastor Bruce, who was here a few weeks ago, and how he has been like a spiritual parent to me in these last several months. And I'm grateful for that. God, as we celebrate dads, help us to be mindful and aware and grateful for who you are as our Heavenly Father. And we just ask that you would guide us in this place today by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read to you just the first 4 verses of Ephesians chapter 6. And I don't know, did anybody mention what's happening after the service for the dads and all those announcements or anything? Hot dogs. Yeah, that's kind of the tradition here. Dogs for dads, muffins for moms. I think we started a new thing a few weeks ago. I missed it. I didn't get a muffin. But we don't do a lot by way of gifts, but dad's on the way out. If you got a big Father's Day lunch planned later today, you can prime the pump with a nice Hoffman's hot dog out there on your way through the parking lot. We may have enough for some of the kids to join in. Moms, maybe enough for you, but I don't really know. But my gift to you this morning was, that's right. And we got a big cake because of, honoring both the dads and the grad. And I'm sorry, Drew, poor guy. One guy. So my gift to you guys is I wrote a 20-minute message. All right. Because I thought, you know, everybody's going to want to get, and your gift to me is forgiving me if I make 40 minutes out of it. So let's just dive into this. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 is a continuation of instructions for Christian homes that the Apostle Paul begins in chapter 5. And if you're wondering why did they put these in 2 different chapters, it's because Paul didn't write chapters. He wrote a letter. And as the scripture writers in their wisdom were organizing the text for us, they broke this down into chapters and verse. And so sometimes it's a little bit confusing that way, but this is just a continuation. Paul talks in Ephesians 5 to husbands and wives, and now he's moving on to the youngest members of the home, to the children, and he begins by saying this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, most of our children are in classrooms today. I see a few in the room here today, and there's some teens in the room today, and we're going to count you in on that children. And if you are a 55-year-old pastor and you act like a child sometimes, we're going to count you in that group as well. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, not because it's easy, not because it's always convenient, but because it is right, Paul says. It is right because it reflects God's design. But by way of encouragement, Paul then quotes the fifth commandment from Exodus 20. He doesn't just quote it. He points out that it comes with a promise. He says, honor your mother and father. Why? That it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life. Right? Any of you guys have one of those fathers who said, you need to honor your mother and I because we are your parents. You need to honor your mother because she brought you into this world. You need to honor me as your father because I'm the one that'll take you out if you don't. You guys familiar with that kind of parenting? I don't think that's really what Paul is talking about so much about the long life here. Although in the Hebrew culture, you did not want to be a rebellious child. In our culture, in our day and age, we see this kind of quite frequently. But what Paul is speaking here is how obedience and honor are a part of how children live into the blessing of God's design, and how for parents, there's just this kind of symbiotic relationship and appropriate relationship that's supposed to take place in the home. So children, obey, honor your mother and father, obey your parents in the Lord. I actually did some research on what that phrase in the Lord means, because I'm trying to understand, does that mean, is that the kind of obedience that you show? Is obedience in the Lord? Does that mean obey your parents as long as they are in the Lord? What exactly does that mean? And there's debate on why Paul used that phrase. So I don't have a clear answer from you this, but without a doubt, obey, honor your mother and father, obey them, for this is right. But here's what I also see in this. As children obey and honor their parents, living into the blessing of God's design, parents, this assumes something really important for those of us who are parents. It assumes that you are also living in a way that is honorable and worthy of imitation. Right? Make sense? Are you guys with me this morning? I mean, Megan told me not very many people picked up coffee on their way in, so that's on you if you're having trouble concentrating this morning. Proverbs 1, 8, and 9 says this, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. All right, we don't wear much garland in our culture these days. Chains maybe, but what the writer of the Proverbs is saying is carry your parents' wisdom with you because it is something valuable, something that will set you up well in life, and wise children treasure the guidance of their parents. But we have to live in such a way that there is something honorable and worth imitation. There's an old teaching maxim that I thought about for years when I was a youth pastor. It says, more is caught than taught, right? Some of you are familiar with that maxim, more is caught than taught. In other words, your children will remember far more about your actions than they generally will about your words of instruction. And this is not only true for children. Think in your life, think about all the times that you've listened to maybe a preacher or maybe somebody giving a lecture, and what they said was in the moment, you're like, that's really great. I'm going to remember that. But as time goes by, we don't recall words. We recall relationships. We recall actions and the way that people build into our lives and the things that they do. And when you're a parent, it's true that more is caught. Your children are watching you to see if your actions line up with your words. And that's very important in what Paul is talking about in this passage. And it's true for all of us in the discipleship process. We're trying to lead others into a relationship with Jesus. We, many of us, when it comes to saying, hey, I want my friends to know about Jesus. Yesterday, I had the privilege of doing a burial committal service for a family member, a relative of mine, actually a great uncle. He was the last of a generation, 96 years old, and I lived. I was fortunate enough to get to know on my mom's side of the family. All of my great uncles were alive through my lifetime, and even their mom. My great grandmother lived with us till she was almost 102, and so I actually had a few stories from my great uncle's mom that people didn't know that I would know. But I sat and I fretted over my words for what I would share, even though if you've ever been to a graveside, it's fairly short, maybe 10 minutes or so, because I knew that it was important to me not only to honor my uncle's memory and his life and to bless his family, but because I wanted to be able to share the gospel in a way that was respectful, but in a way that if there were people standing there considering their mortality and their eternity and what this life is all about and what comes after it, I wanted them to be able to have something that they could chew on and think about. And so I was trying to choose my words very carefully. And for some of you, you have friends and family members that you're trying to draw them or point them towards Jesus, and you probably have thought very carefully about your words, and maybe you get into that moment where you have an opportunity to connect with them on something spiritually, but you kind of choke a little bit because you're like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. And we often worry a lot about our words in those interactions, but I find that our witness, our actions, our attitudes and behaviors speak even louder than our words when it comes to our witness for Christ. And that's something that's very important for us to remember. If your words and your actions are inconsistent on a regular basis, if they don't line up, I mean, all of us fall short from time to time, but if they're inconsistent on a regular basis as to who you are, you probably shouldn't say anything at all. But if your actions are consistent, if they're pointing someone to Christ, I'm of the belief that God can take scattered words and do something good with them, and he'll do that in our lives as well. So as we seek to disciple others, or as parents, the example that we set, our actions speak louder than our words, and the examples that we set are very important. In fact, somebody once told me that the examples that we set often becomes either the foundations that our kids will build their life on, or the stone that they will stumble over. Our actions will either be the foundation our kids stand on, or they will be the one that they stumble over. So to our children and teens that are in the room this morning, I would ask you this question, and you don't have to answer out loud. You can think about this. Are you open to being formed by the adults in your life, especially by your parents? Are you willing to trust in the guidance of those who love you and want God's best for you? And to parents, I would remind you that the obedience and honor are much easier and more likely gained when you are leading with integrity, humility, and grace. All right, so that's first part. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is good. And then Paul turns his attention in verse 4 to fathers. He says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Why does Paul single out fathers here? Because we're angry. Yeah, I mean, well, and the ESV says, do not provoke your children to anger, or do not provoke your sons to anger. maybe that was a confession, Kyle. I'm not sure that dads are any more prone to provoking their children to anger or exasperating their children than moms are, maybe in a different way. I'm not going to give any personal experiences on that one because I would like to enjoy my Father's Day. In other places, Paul's not ignoring moms here. In other places, Paul praises the influence of faithful mothers. In fact, actually, a few weeks ago on Mother's Day, when Dave Gray spoke, he talked about Timothy and how Timothy's life was very much impacted by having a godly mom and grandmother in his life. But in the context here, Paul emphasizes the father's role because dads often set the emotional tone, the emotional and spiritual tone of the home. And that's true whether we like it or not. It's true whether we think that should be the case or not, whether we're willing to accept it or not. It is just more often than not in a Christian home, this is the case. And when we don't lead well, it leads to a lack of wellness in the family. There's responsibilities that are given to all of us as you read through Ephesians 5 and 6 in the home. And if we want there to be wellness in our family and in our home, we need to lead well. The word exasperate means to frustrate, to discourage, or to provoke unnecessarily. And so the question that I asked as I read this is, well, how do we do that as dads? And then again, for those of you that aren't dads and you think you're off the hook, just think about this in your relationships. How do we provoke or exasperate? And I would say, particularly as I think about being a dad, I just want to share with you three things, and I think that you can encapsulate them all in one thing. But the first one is this. When we discipline harshly, without grace. Harsh discipline without grace leads to exasperation, frustration, discouragement. Number two is inconsistency. When the rules of the home change depending on your mood or the context, there's inconsistency. And there can be all kinds of inconsistencies in our home. Absence is probably one of the biggest ways. Parents are not, a dad or a mom is not physically present, or spiritually present, or emotionally present, it tends to lead to frustration, to exasperation. And I would argue that each of these is a component of the one biggest potential cause of exasperation, which I believe is hypocrisy. How do we as dads exasperate our children when we are hypocritical in our leadership? Hypocrisy is, we know we've talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount. In some cases, hypocrisy is saying one thing and doing another, or insisting that your children do as you say and not as you do, right? We've heard that one, do as I say, not as I do. And again, this comes back to the idea that more is caught than taught. And I don't know if anybody in this room could share an example in life where you had good results from, yeah.
I think one of the most wonderful things a father can do is display humility and humbleness. That draws in children to listen more. And then if that can be placed with a common denominator patience, because we have to remember, children are learning, they're investigating, and they're going to make mistakes. And if you're patient and with humility and humbleness can let them learn from their mistakes without an abrasive arm, they come to naturally, deeply love their father. And of course, in the Bible, it says that father is the head of the household, so that's why he sets the tone and the mood for the dynamics of the household. So that's my thought on that.
What's your first name? What's your first name?
Dana.
Dana. We haven't met yet, but I'll accept that as a Father's Day gift from you this morning. That's very good. It's a very good word, I appreciate that. And I hope he spoke loud and clear enough for all of you. Hopefully you were listening to that. And I would agree with that. In fact, actually, that's a little bit humbling right there to have things you're trying to get out. Somebody says it a little bit clearer, and thank you. And I agree with you. And I think that that leads right into that idea of more is caught than taught. And humility is not easy, especially when you're in leadership. Especially as a Christian dad, and when we think about what it means to be the head of the home, there's a lot tied up in that. And we're in a culture that wants to push back against that, even without taking the time to look into that and understanding what that truly means. I know that when I do weddings, I will often talk to the bride about the Bible calling brides to submit to their husband as unto the Lord, because he is the head of the home. And I know that I also will acknowledge the fact that there's been a lot of women who have been hurt because of a lot of men who have taken that scripture and misunderstood what it is saying. But what I love about that is in the very next or the following verses, it tells husbands that you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so there's this, and then he says in that same passage, both of you submit to one another out of love. And so the Christian life, I think humility is probably one of the most important, I think it's probably one of the most important characteristics or ways that we reflect Christ, one of the most important things that we need to learn, and yet one of the most difficult. So ultimately, New Hope, this is not rocket science. It is a little bit of a paradox because the truth that's in here is very simple. And yet, in practicality, you will all agree it's a challenge to live it out because it goes against our flesh and what we desire so much, right? I don't always desire to be humble. I don't always desire, like in my heart, I want to be the kind of dad and I want to be the kind of friend and I want to be the kind of pastor who is patient and humble and gentle. And yet, in practice, when I want to win, I want to win arguments. I want people to understand what I'm saying. I want to be heard. This is not difficult in what Christ is saying. The difficulty comes in us humbling ourselves and engaging in it. So Paul shared a similar thought with another church in Colossians, the church in Colossae. So he's writing this to the church in Ephesus, and in the church in Colossae, he says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." And I think we discourage kids most easily when our words and actions don't line up, when we are hypocritical, when we lack humility. Especially another area where this happens is when we fail to own our own mistakes. We can also, I think this is actually a sign of immaturity. Sometimes our immaturity shows up in hypocrisy. And sometimes our immaturity shows up just in the fact that we want to set a good example for our kids. We want to do the right thing, but we're just not where we want to be in our own faith or even in our own personal development, in our own character development, right? Do you understand what I'm saying like that? Like, have you ever, as an adult, done something where you laid down in bed that night and you had a hard time sleeping because you thought, man, that was really childish of me. Man, I wish I could, I wish there was a rewind button in life so I could go back and get a do-over on that one. You guys remember do-overs, right? When you were playing games with your friends when you were a little kid and couldn't figure out if somebody was safe or out and somebody screamed, do-over. Yeah, but as adults, we don't get those, right? You don't get to go back in a lot of moments of life and get a do-over. But the beauty of the work that God is doing in us is there's this thing called repentance, where we get to, when we're moving in the wrong direction, we've made mistakes, we have been invited by the creator and sustainer of all life to turn around and go back in his direction. And I know, again, as a dad, there are moments where I'm trying to guide and gently steer my children in a direction that I think is right, and they're going in a different direction, and I can get to the point where if they finally want to bend to my will or do things the way I've asked them to, I'm just kind of like, forget it. Like, don't even bother. Like, I don't even care anymore. Imagine if that's the way that God treated us. But he doesn't. Repentance is one of the greatest gifts. The fact that God has said over and over again, you can turn in my direction. And he's gonna be gracious in that. I think the long and the short of it is this. Eventually, it doesn't always happen immediately, but eventually in life, more often than not, children tend to follow in the footsteps of their parents. Maybe not career-wise, but eventually, in terms of their maturity, and if we're talking about their spiritual life, is that me? somebody forgot that we had a time change, and they just got here in time for service, and I got them on the ring. And it's probably my mom. Sorry about that. Children will ultimately will often follow in our footsteps. And so that means, in my mind, that it increases the importance that I'm following Jesus, right? So a parent's calling, and this is kind of the nutshell from, or the crux of the matter for me. Our calling in the home is discipleship, not just discipline, but discipleship. And discipline is an aspect of discipleship. Paul says, do not exasperate your children, but then he says, instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Some of you grew up in a home where the words of Scripture were presented to you, and that was the direction that you were going to live in that household, and and maybe there was a lot of instruction with not a lot of grace. And maybe there was a lot of orders and not a lot of mercy or teaching. Listen, we live in a culture that has abandoned, in many ways, a discipline and accountability. And so please don't think, oh, no, this is where he's going to try to get us to take a much softer tone, and go by way of what I think our culture often makes a mistake. I'm not. What I'm going to tell you is to look to Jesus and to use him as the model for how you're supposed to lead in discipline. Now, listen, that's the attractive thing for a lot of people there is to go like, well, I'm just going to jump right back into the Old Testament, and I'm going to, like, grab onto those passages where God's like, I'm going to give you a chance, and if you don't do it, you know, I'm just going to smite you. As parents, we're not in the smiting business, right? We're in the discipleship business, the development business. And it's a difficult balance in discipling our children. If you want your parents to love God and follow Jesus, my question to you would be, well, which God? Which Jesus? Which version of God or Jesus? Do you, the one that is convenient for you in the moment and what you want them to do, or do you want them to look to the God of the Scriptures to see how he revealed himself in Christ and to say, that's who I'm following after? And so what this tells me over and over again is I can have all kinds of rules in my home, and I can set up all kinds of environmental things in my home that I think, okay, well, this is going to help me lead my children in the way that they should go. Deuteronomy 6, Moses commanded the Israelites, these commands that I give you today are to be on your heart, impress them when on your children, talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. There's this idea that, okay, if I just set up all the right things in my home, if we will just protect our children, maybe we'll insulate them from the things of this world. If I can just make sure that all of the entertainment that comes into our home, or the information that comes into our home, is funneled through a Christian perspective or worldview. If I can just get them to church and to Sunday school or a midweek program or VBS in the summer. If I will just do those things, that's my job. And I would say that all those things are good things. But the number one thing that you can do, the most important thing you can do, the most effective thing that you can do if you want your children to learn to love God and follow after Jesus, is to learn how to love God and follow after Jesus for yourself. The most important environment that you can create in your home is to cultivate a right heart in yourself. because your children are going to look to you to say, are the words true? Do they match up with what's... And when we make mistakes and we fall down, a right heart will lead us to acknowledging our missteps. It will give us the humility to ask forgiveness of our children and to understand that that doesn't short-circuit the discipleship process, or it doesn't negate discipline, but it's actually a part of that and actually will earn trust and create a foundation of honor in the home. God's word is very clear on this, and part of the reason that I feel like he put this on this passage on my heart this morning as a dad is because this is the stuff that that occupies my prayer time. And what's interesting, and for those of you who know me, if you don't, my children are not children anymore. I mean, they're my children, but they're not kids. And my role as a dad has shifted, and it's very confusing for me to know what my role is. And also, because I would love to be able to get a do-over and go back and do some things differently when they were children, but I can't. If you're a parent and your kids are grown up, remember how there were a lot of things that they did that really frustrated you. But as you look back, those things are become a little bit fuzzy and a little unclear. And what becomes more and more clear is just the overall love that you have for your kids and how you just have a desire for them to experience health and to be in a right relationship with God, to be mature adults, functioning well in society, and there's just a love. And so, like, the moments that I had as a dad where I felt like I'm so angry or I'm so frustrated, I'll never get over this because of what they've done. I don't remember those things. They seem like a big deal in the moment. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, again, I'm not, please don't think that I'm discouraging discipline in the process of discipleship, but I'm emphasizing the discipleship part. And if we want to make disciples in our homes, we need to be disciples in our hearts, first and foremost. More is caught than taught. Another old teaching maxim is people don't care what they know until they know that you care, right? And I'd say this is true, again, like, our children are smart. They are observant. And children, teenagers, adolescent children, particularly two in the middle aisle here, honor your mother and father and understand that one of the most difficult things in the world to do is to be a parent. Anybody that's a parent in here will understand. It's a life-changing thing. But it doesn't come, that's the old saying, parenting doesn't come with an instruction manual, right? The best that a lot of us get is the example of our parents. And, you know, we're right at about the age where we're thinking we know so much more than they know. And it's not until the first one pops out that you realize I am completely unarmed here in terms of what I'm supposed to do. I'm totally unprepared. And yet, there's a God who sets an example for us in love, indeed. And he gives us a way that's simple but not easy. And the only way that we're going to successfully walk in the steps of Jesus is if we're daily surrendering our heart to him and letting him transform us. You want to see your children experience transformation, then engage in the... Submit yourself to the Lord and let him transform you. And I guarantee there will be fruit that comes out of that in your home. Let me pray for us. If you're a parent, let me tell you this much. If you're a parent, a mom or dad in here, and you're struggling in that process right now, at the very least, I would love to be praying for you each week. I mean, you can just come to me and let me know, like, hey, I need help. I would love to also sit and talk with you. I'm not a counselor, but I think I can point you in the right direction and maybe point you towards others that can help in that process a little more. If you are somebody in here who maybe your kids are grown up and you're kicking yourself because you're feeling like, I think I made a lot of mistakes in that process, and I don't feel like, I mean, maybe you've lost the relationship with your adult kids. I would love to be praying for you as well. I would just remind everybody in this room that it's never too late. It's never too late to trust God to transform your heart. And he can do more. A mentor of mine will always say, God can do more in 30 minutes than we can do in 30 years. And I think God can do more in 30 seconds than we could ever do in 30 years. Like, God can change hearts. But for us, the first heart we need to worry about is the one that's inside of you. I'm going to invite the team to come up. They're going to close us in song, and then I'm going to pray for us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day in our culture to celebrate dads, and the one that we have a few weeks ago to celebrate moms. And I know that it may or may not have been created by somebody as a way to sell greeting cards or make money, but I think that that parenting is such an important thing that you've created, the way that you, and the home is such, so intricate in our life, that I thank you that we have a day to kind of focus in and think about our roles. But I pray for those that are in this room this morning that are struggling in that role, because I know that there are some, I feel it. And I just ask that your spirit would be near. God, you are not absent. You are not inconsistent. And you are never hypocritical. And we need the presence of your spirit and the power of your truth to be at work in transforming our hearts, so that we might have the capacity to trust you to change the hearts of our children and those that we care about most. God, as we think about making disciples in our homes, would you remind us that the most important step we can take in the discipleship process is to surrender to the work of becoming a disciple of Jesus that you want to do in our own lives. Thank you for this day. Bless each person here as we go out and celebrate with the dads. And God, give your comfort to those who are struggling because they've lost their father or because they are did not have a healthy relationship with their father, or whatever the case may be. God, you are a good father. And I pray that for those that don't have a healthy relationship to lean into, that they would lean into you. And for those of us who are dads, that we would lean into you, that we would experience your love and mercy today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. As you go away from here, I know you probably have plans, but if you've got a few minutes that you can stay and to share a few moments of fellowship with each other, there's a beautiful cake out there that we're about to destroy by cutting it into pieces. There are going to be hot dogs outside. It's Father's Day. You get to eat dessert first and then have the main course. It's your day. So thank you so much, New Hope Church. May God bless you and be with you this week.